We'll start with the Ten Commandments. You know why? Because they precede Leviticus, and explain a bit why Leviticus is there. At least, that's my understanding. So, how many of the commandments deal with our relationship with God? I see four fingers, I see five fingers, I see... I see 10 fingers, and that's correct. But specifically, the first four, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those four. So then, Leviticus spells out, okay, the Ten Commandments, the first four, or the first three, says, thou shalt have not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So Leviticus is, thou shalt. Here's what you want, here's what you ought to do if you want to have that sweet relationship with me. Now, in New Testament, of course, with us as believers, we have a lot of exhortations in the New Testament that say, in essence, if you want to have a sweet relationship with the Father, here's what you need to do. Right? I didn't hear any amens about that, but some of you said, oh, me, but that's... So, if you want to have, to the Jewish people, if you want to have a sweet relationship, where do you start? Well, if we want to have a relationship with God, where do we start? We start with acknowledging that we are a... You guys okay tonight? You know, you didn't come here for a rest and a, you know, boy, I can just sit back here and semi-sleep. You okay? Okay, so if we want to have a relationship with God, what do we have to do? Acknowledge that we are a... And accept his payment for our sins. Well done, class. That's better. Okay, so, and once we do that, we're in the family. Is that correct? And then if we want to demonstrate our obedience, we get baptized. And we get involved in serving him one way or the other, or many ways, in fact. We get involved in serving him. So, let's turn to Leviticus, if you will. I was impressed as I read through the book of Leviticus, where Moses recounts how God called him or talked to him or spoke to him. And how many times do you think that is in the book of Leviticus? It's a bunch of them, let me tell you. So I said to myself, well, why is he doing this? Why is Moses, who wrote the book of Leviticus, why is he saying that God spoke to me, God called me, God told me? Why is he doing that? Any thoughts on that? Well, he was chosen for sure. But there, to me, he's saying, this is not me talking. This isn't what I think you ought to do. This is what God is saying you need to do. So it brings the authority of God through Moses to the children, to the Israelites. So he's saying, this is what God expects of you. This is what God wants you to do. These aren't my thoughts. This is from God. This information is from God. So, 34 times at least. I may have missed some, so it may be more than 34 times. In Leviticus, you know, the Lord called and spoke to Moses. So we settled why, okay? So let's look at the there are five Levitical offerings here in the first five chapters, and we'll just do a bit of a summary. I confess that this evening is not going to be an in-depth study of these five offerings, because that would go on and on and on and on and on. And Pastor would be here till midnight, till he said goodbye to everybody. So we won't do that, but we do want to look at them. So here we have in chapter 1, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." They now have set up the tabernacle. This was the instructions were given for the tabernacle from God to Moses. And he communicated that information to children of Israel, to the artisans, and everybody else involved. And by the way, that would be a great study just to realize that the Israelites had all of these, they were capable of doing all of these things that needed to be done to build the tabernacle. And a lot of it was fine work, engraving work, and engraving on stones and whatever. And you think, okay, wow. And God empowered the men to do that. But anyway, so God called unto Moses out and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And this and his offering to be a burnt offering of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the rest of the chapter goes on to explain how this was done. So notice here, though, that it's a burnt offering, and throughout the chapter you'll see that the animal was totally consumed on the altar. It was totally burnt on the altar. The Bible tells us that when the fire was established in the altar, it was never to go out. It was to be burning day and night. It was to burn, it was to be burning all the time. You think about all the wood that required to, and then these, if you brought a bullock, you think about burning a whole bullock. We have the privilege of having a whole bunch of mints at our house. We said goodbye to our old bull, and he dressed out at nearly 500 kgs, which means that live he was almost a ton. And you think about burning an animal of that size, or even half that size, on the altar, and it took a great deal of work and effort for the priest to make that happen. Anyway, chapter 1, you have the details of how this is supposed to be done. But this is a burnt offering. So what is the purpose of this offering? After we become Christians, God wants us just to sit back and watch everybody else do the work. Oh, that's... I know some people who... No, I won't. Who can quote Romans 12:1 other than Pastor and Mrs. Pastor? Who can quote Romans 12:1? Very well done, Liz. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And in the Old Testament times, this is exactly what this offering was. It was an individual coming to bringing his offering and saying, I want to be wholly committed to God. I want this offering to demonstrate that I am coming to commit myself wholly unto the Lord. Interesting, is it not? Now, the Jewish people were already a chosen people. Is that correct? Yep, God chose them. And who was the originator of the Jewish people? He can't help himself, can he? God chose Abraham and the Jewish people, the Israelites, have just come out of the land of Egypt. God has brought them out of the land of Egypt. They're at Mount Sinai. What time frame? Anybody know the time frame from the time they left Egypt until Sinai? Well, it's interesting because different scholars have different time frame, but anywhere from 4 months to a year, they're now encamped at Sinai, and it's interesting here because the Israelites were already God's chosen people, so they didn't have to come to Him to become one of His chosen people. They're already one of His chosen people. Not like us. If we want to be one of God's people, part of the family of God, then we need to trust Christ as our personal Savior. But the Jewish people were already chosen of God. So here, Brother Les shared about Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? How much have you got left when you present your body? So one of the key aspects of the Christian life is to be obedient to Romans 12, 1 and 2, who present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's really what this burnt offering was about. The individual was coming with his offering and saying, I want to acknowledge that I want to do exactly what God wants me to do. I want to be obedient to Him. Put it all on the altar, so to speak. Brought as, by the individual as a token of surrender to God. And the comparison for us, of course, is Romans 12, 1. Chapter 2. This is the sweet savor offering, the meat offering. Christ in His human perfection tested by suffering. So, any when they will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense therein. And if I can find a page here, turn this page. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And then it goes on to share about the rest of it. So what is this meat offering? Anyone want to have a quick explanation of chapter 2? This whole study, if we had time to do this in depth or had opportunity, there's a tremendous amount of information here. But the meal offering or the meat offering is whenever a man saw a cause to express his devotion or his appreciation for what God had done. So this meal offering is that. And how does that compare with us? Or how does that, where are we in all of this as New Testament Christians? Here, he brought a meal offering, sometimes called a meat offering. Whenever a man saw cause to express his devotion or his appreciation, he could bring this offering. And in essence, saying, thank you, Father, thank you, God, for all that you have supplied and what you have done. So, what do we do? Sorry?
Thank God verbally?
We can, yes. And share in testimony time how God has blessed, and show our appreciation and our thanksgiving. And how about when we sit down to eat? Do we say thank you? You know, there are a lot of people for whom thank you is a serious challenge. I think I shared some years ago down in Harvey Bay, I went into the ANZ Bank. You know, Floyd does these crazy things. I got a bag of Minties, you see, and went into the bank, and there's a whole queue of people waiting. And that didn't bother me. I just went up to the tellers. There were three or four of them, and handed out three or four Minties, see? And I said, there were people standing there. I said, excuse me. I just handed them the Minties and said, I just wanted to say how much we appreciate what you do and how you do it. And this one teller, she had just finished with her customer, and tears came to her eyes. And she said, you know what? No one has ever said to me, thank you for what I do here at the bank. And I'm thinking, how hard was that? Anyway, the bank manager, wondering what all the commotion was, came out from his office, and I said, oh, wow, whoopee, we got the bank manager. He can have some too. I just enjoy stirring a bit. Of course, none of you know that, but anyway, and then there were four or five customers, and I said, oh, by the way, you're in the right place at the right time. You want some Minties too? I think, how much did that cost? You know, I'm going to the bank anyway, and, you know, just take a bag of Minties with you and just enjoy yourself, and we were in Brisbane, and there was two cars of police. Yeah, there were six or seven of them, so they had to be in two cars or whatever. They came to the little restaurant where we were having a get-together with some of our staff. And I thought, oh, okay, here's an opportunity to tell the police how much we appreciate them. So I went over to them, and I said, hey, I said, I'm happy to pay for whatever you want today. And they were a bit taken back, and then they said, look, we've just been told that we're not allowed to accept that kind of thing. So I said, well, I'm sorry, you know, but I was quite willing to say how much we appreciate what you do. And you know, you put your life on the line for us, and we're grateful. Anyway, meal or a meat offering, express devotion, express appreciation. So then chapter 3. And if his oblation, he sacrifice a peace offering. So now we're up to a peace offering. If he offer it of a herd, whether it be a male or a female. Now, this is one of the times when you can offer a female animal. He shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. They all needed to be without blemish. And the sacrificial lambs, if I remember correctly, that were offered at Jerusalem, at the temple during the time of Christ, they were set aside for 7 days. Was it 7 days? To make sure that they were okay, that there were no, they were in perfect health. So here, he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about, and he shall offer the sacrifice of a peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it goes on to explain how this peace offering is supposed to be handled by the priests. So the priest the peace offering has to do with reconciliation, concord, and communion. So this is this offering, all three parties participated. The one bringing the offering received most of the offering back again. The priest was given part of the offering, and the family of the one who brought this offering could participate also. So this is demonstrates communion. It demonstrates fellowship with God. It demonstrates that this person bringing this offering wants to be in fellowship, wants to have that fellowship, and it demonstrates a communion with God. God is, all participated, the priest, the offerer's family, God and his people, as it were, ate and fellowshipped together. Isn't that good? So why did he do this? By way of supplication. As he laid his hands on the animal, before the priest slew it, killed it, he could offer a prayer saying, Father, my crops need some rain. Or, we'd like to have a baby in our family, like John's mom and dad, the John the Baptist's mom and dad. From the scriptures, it appears that they prayed for years for a child, and it might have been that they brought a peace offering. And then also by way of thanksgiving. So this was another way that a person could say, thank you, Father, for all that you have provided. So the peace offering of chapter 3, then chapter 4. This is the sin offering. So chapter 4, it's interesting, isn't it? The first offering is, I want to commit myself to you. The second offering is... the meal or the meat offering, saw cause to express his devotion. The third offering is the peace offering, where the offerer is saying, Father, it'd be great if you would provide the following, whatever it might be, or a prayer, an offering of thanksgiving. And now we get to the sin offering. So, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which they ought not to have done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed to do sins according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. So here you have... an offering of sin where the individual is saying, I have sinned, and he's bringing this offering where the priest, of course, would slay it. And over again we see how important it is, how important the shedding of blood is, but especially in this offering as a sin offering where the shedding of blood for the bullock is part of it. So our duty, putting away sin, so the sins of commission or sins of omission, this was, and it's important. So how about us today? What is the comparative for us today? 1 John 1:9. If we do what? He is... and to exactly. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have an obligation, people. The sins of omission, the sins of commission. There are times when we don't realize that we have sinned. So there needs to be a time when we say, Father, if I've failed, if I've sinned by omission of not doing what I should have done, many times we know because the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. But then there are the sins of commission, which we, may not realize, or when we do realize, we need to confess and be restored into perfect fellowship. Sin separates. Sin separates the sinner from God, and sin will separate you in your fellowship. I didn't hear any amens to that either, but you know, sin separates. You cannot expect the full blessings of God, the full work of the Holy Spirit in your life if there's sin involved. You just need to confess sin. So that's what the sin offering was all about, or was about. The opportunity for the individual to come before the priest and offer this sacrifice as a covering for his sin. And then the fifth chapter has to do with the trespass offering. It'd be great, wouldn't it, to be able to spend time with each of these offerings and go into some greater detail. Pastor could do that once, you know, one a Sunday and a Sunday morning, and that'd be good. Anybody want to vote for that? Yeah. Pastor says that isn't the way we operate at Christmas. Trespass offering. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing as a witness, and whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch an unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, etc., etc. So this is a trespass offering. So the difference between a trespass offering and a sin offering. Anybody want to have a go? Well, the sin offering is more general. It covers a whole variety of wrongdoing, of sin, whether it be omission or commission. The trespass offering is more specific, for it says if a man do this or if a man does that. So it's more specific, but in essence, it's pretty much the same. The individual takes an animal for a sacrifice, an offering, a sacrifice to cover that sin. So whatever that might have been. All right. The Bible says that these are a sweet-smelling savor, not the last one, but the first three, or sweet savor offerings. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So what does it say about a Christian and being a... What do we do or can we do that is a sweet savor for God? Anybody know that passage? Abby. Two Corinthians, 14 and 15, I think it is. Someone want to read that for us? Two Corinthians 2 says something about sweet savor there. Emma, do you have it? Emma says, I don't want to read it out loud.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish.
It's interesting. We are a sweet savor to him. Those of us who are born again, those of us who are his children, we are, and yes, our prayers, our praise, that's what God wants to hear, and that's that sweet savor of smell that that we can lift up unto God. Now, before we go, there were a couple of things that jumped out at me as I read through this this book, and we'll go there, and then I'll call it finished for tonight. Chapter 9, the last three verses of chapter 9, is it? And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering. What offerings did he offer? Sin offering. So that's for the sin of the people. A burnt offering that says, hey, we're yours, Father, and we want to commit ourselves to you. And the peace offering, which is we want to be in fellowship with you. Isn't that interesting? Well, to me it was, whether it is to you. And then 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Wow, that's where we want to be, in fellowship with him, so that his glory is manifested to us. And then verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Wow. There is the power of God and the relationship that we ought to have. Isn't that exciting? To me, it's exciting. Fire came out from before the Lord and says, I accept this. I accept this. I accept you as, you know, what you're doing, what you've done with these sacrifices. And I accept you as my chosen people. That was a confirmation of this. And then chapter 10, sad, sad story here. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, what does it say? And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, these are the priests, or these would be future priests, sons of Aaron's, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. You know how it is sometimes when we're on, what do we call it, on a high, when we've experienced God's blessings and this fellowship, his fellowship in a unique way, we're on on a high plane. What's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, then sometimes we're inclined to get carried away, and I think this is probably what happened. These two priests said, oh, wow, well, we'll do more of this. We'll see more of God's glory. We'll see more of God's power. We'll see more of whatever. So they took their censers, put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord. And verse 2 says, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. I'm just glad that when I sin, God doesn't kill me on the spot. But of course, these men were chosen of God for a specific purpose and to do it correctly. If you don't learn anything else, reading through the book of Leviticus, you'll learn that God set out specific details as how he wants things done. And in this day and age, we have Christians who say, I can worship God any which way I want. I can fellowship with God any which way I want. Well, I got news for you people. That isn't pleasing to God. God wants us to fellowship as he has said we ought to. We ought to fellowship with one another. We ought to attend a local church. We ought to be in fellowship and et cetera, et cetera. So if you don't get anything else from reading through the book of Leviticus, please understand that with all the offerings, God spelled out exactly how he wanted it done. I read a little bit about the knife that the knives that they used, and the fact that they had to kill the animal in a certain way. You couldn't just use any knife, and you couldn't just kill the animal in any way, shape, or form. It had to be done in a specific way. So, what does that say to us? It says to us that God expects us to do things according to His plan and His program, and anything else is not acceptable. And here is a perfect illustration of that. These two men were slain before the tabernacle. Father, we thank You this evening for Your mercies. We thank You, Father, that as Your children, we can offer our offerings. We can bring our offerings. Our offerings, our burnt offerings, which corresponds with Romans 12, where we say, "Here am I, Father. You can have all of me, whatever it means, wherever that takes me. Father, You can do with me whatever You want to." And then, of course, the fellowship offerings. Father, we commit ourselves to obeying You best we know how. Help us, Father, with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to have a greater understanding of how You want us to worship You, serve You. And, Father, we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.